The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. Lines are open through till 1 on 66 13 68. You can text on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com, or WhatsApp on 166 177 as well. Big day today, A-level results day. Next week it's GCSEs, that time of the year. In fact, tomorrow on Man in Line, there's going to be an A-level special. We'll be talking to some employers, the University College Isle of Man, and high schools across the Isle of Man, about what it means for the students, really, about what they're going to do for the future, whether it's a higher, further education they go to, whether they go into the workplace, exactly how we progress. Remember, these are the taxpayers of tomorrow, so it's important we keep tabs on it all. Yesterday was all about the Scarlet Pimpernel traffic warden yesterday, but a note in I got from Jill after the show, it came in. Jill said, I hold a disabled parking permit. I went to Douglas early Sunday morning. All the disabled spaces were taken apart from a 30-minute space on Regent Street. Now, I walk with a cane. I can't walk fast, so close parking helps me enormously. A white work van was parked in the end disabled space nearest the shops. No disabled parking permit. Its tax had run out a month ago, and when I came back from the shops, it was still there, meaning it was well over the 30 minutes. If people like that knew how difficult it is for some of us, perhaps they would spare a thought. Thank you, Joel. And we were talking about assiduous traffic wardens yesterday. Of course, they have a job to do, and some are more assiduous than others. But it was mentioned that long wheelbase vans are parking on Douglas Promenade where they're not supposed to park. And certainly those disabled spaces in Regent Street are a topic of conversation. And surely commercial vans shouldn't be allowed to park in disabled spaces. Surely they should make arrangements with the parking authorities to park somewhere else. Surely disabled spaces are non-negotiable. They're there for a reason. It is for people with disabilities. Ian said, Andy, regarding the university issue, I've said before, I blame Tony Blair's Labour government. Whatever happened to Tony Blair? They turned education into an industry, so it's understandable that today's generation want to have the university experience. Unfortunately, the more that go away, the fewer we can expect to come back. I genuinely believe it'll be difficult to change unless financial assistance for people who go to university is reduced. And sadly, that'll have a major effect on parents, as I don't believe we can change the expectations of students who want to go to experience university. Well, it is a good point. Do you remember years ago, and obviously it was the UK government that did it, but suddenly I think the Labour government wanted everybody to go to university and made it easy because they made everything a university. All the former polytechnics became universities. And in the UK, certainly our students don't have anywhere near the debt burden that UK students come out with. Tens of thousands of pounds worth of university fee debt that some have no hope of ever paying off. Certainly, it's less on the Isle of Man. There is far more public assistance for students to go to university. But times have changed. Times certainly have changed. It's something we'll chat about tomorrow, but if you've got anything you want to throw in the pot today, then by all means do. Regarding the airport, my wife and I went to pick a relative up from the airport last night. We arrived at 5:10. The place looks dowdy, large dispenser for snacks in the waiting area for arrivals. The large dispenser was empty. So we went upstairs to where the shop and cafe used to be. Of course, they're closed. The cafe's closed. Is it ever going to be reopened? No drink dispenser to get a drink. This must be a recent disappearance. So no snacks, no drinks. Do we really want people to come and visit here? It's past time for a wake-up call. I believe the Gatwick to Isle of Man was cancelled. Well, actually, it was cancelled last night. It was cancelled at the weekend too, as the airport will be closed by the time they arrived here. It'll only be a matter of time, surely, before EasyJet have had enough too. They can't blame COVID forever. Actually, we haven't really heard much out of the brand new airport director. Our brand new airport director arrived at the start of this month. And so far, Gary Cobb, who was based at Inverness, he was chief operating officer with the Highlands and Islands Airport Limited, has taken up his role in August, now it being August the 18th. And we've not heard from him. So perhaps if anybody at the airport could tell us what's happening with the drinks dispenser and the snack dispenser and the shop and the cafe and when we might get to anything like normal, perhaps they could tell us. And a note in from, this is Texter 428, thank you, Parade Street East and Parade Street West, the old bus station site and the opposite side of the road, C Terminal, front and side, as well as what's known as the Weybridge Car Park, Battery Pier, River Bridge on South Quay, the Tong, all of it, small Lake Road Car Park on the left-hand side as you go towards Tesco, Steam Railway, Custom House, Chester Street, Drumgold Street, all owned by the DOI. The traffic wardens or parking controllers, as well as port security officers, are able to police all of these car parks and enforce anything that breaks the parking order on each of these specific sites, says Texter 428. We were just mulling over what the government owns in terms of sites. When you mention, I think you were mentioning, it's the small Lake Road car park. Obviously, there is a bigger one that Dandara own. Interesting. Thanks for that information. Today is A-level result day. A-level students across the Isle of Man heading into school this morning, some maybe now, to pick up their results. It's a nerve-wracking day. It's an emotional day for anybody who's experienced it. And this year's results are predicted to be down across the board, with fewer A stars and A's awarded to pupils. Siobhan Fletcher from Manx Radio News has been talking to the head of sixth form at Ballacameen, Richard Caron.
It's kind of as predicted. I think we all knew in the media, it was certainly started to drip feed through last week, that there was going to be a change in the sort of standard increase in results every year. And we sort of saw maybe over the last 2 years with the centrally predicted grades during COVID, we saw quite considerable growth in the grades. We knew that they were going to have to claw that back. You can't inflate grades at that speed and get away with it, really. So what we had to do as a country was pull the grades back. We have seen that happen. And just as was predicted in the national news, we've seen a big pullback in the A star to A category. There's absolutely no doubt about it. There's less A stars and there's less A's going out. I would suggest that we've actually seen a pullback from pre-COVID. So we've seen a drop in grades even since 2019 this year in that category. And we've seen a drop of grades in the A star to B category. However, we've held pretty firm in the A star to C category. So we've got some pretty healthy results in terms of A star to C. But I think most schools will report the same, that we have seen a drop in grades in the higher category.
Just for anyone who's opened the results today and say it's not gone the right way for them, you know, in the national press there's been all these fears of clearing chaos. It sounds to me like you've, you know, they come in to see you guys a little bit later today and they know that you're going to help them get a place somewhere and they're going to end up where they want to be.
Yeah, the doors open at 8 o'clock. Then we'll be there. Clearing is a bit spicy, but it's not. Don't believe what you're reading in the press. Clearing is okay. We've done a lot of work looking into what courses are available. For example, and I know my colleagues will have done that, we gone through all of the results. We've gone through all of people who haven't got onto their course. We've planned for what we're going to do this morning, so we know which courses we're going to advise people to go into. We've maybe sent a couple of emails to a couple of our contacts that might well be helping us today, and we've got it all under control. So if the students come in, if the results aren't what they were, do not worry, because we will make the right decisions with them and their families, and we'll make sure they go to university. And you know what? University is a life experience. It doesn't, in the end, it doesn't really matter where you go. It's about making friends, about living alone and enjoying yourself, making decisions for yourself, and studying and enjoying, passionately enjoying the subject you do. And really, if you make the most of it, it doesn't matter where you go.
Well, we'll see what happens for... Thank you. We'll see what happens from the results today. I mentioned next week is GCSE as well, so it's a busy time for teachers over the next few days. It's next Thursday, 25th, that GCSE levels 1 and 2 qualifications, the IGCSE as well, and I think some BTEC and technical and vocational qualifications results next week. So it is a big time. Maybe if you were involved in this, if you can remember years and years ago when you were getting exam results. Well, it's about the same. Times have changed, but it's a stressful old time. That was Richard Caron from Ballacameen High School, head of sixth form. And Richard's going to be on the show tomorrow just talking about how things are a day on, and how you manage expectations, how you guide students. Some students, of course, will be leaving education, full-time education, and going into the world of work. We'll have two big employers on the Isle of Man tomorrow talking about their... we got what they used to call head of personnel. I think they're now called head of people, or head of HR will be in tomorrow talking about employment on the Isle of Man and what the employers actually require from students coming out of education. Then the other side of students going on to more, further, possibly higher education, and what it is they're going to get and how much it's going to cost, the stress it will put on family life and family finances. But a note in from Hillary, who said, we're talking about the cost of living crisis, and it seems to be coming up all the time. I lived through the early 80s when interest rates went up to 15%. But we had to manage. We only had one salary to live on. We had two small children. We couldn't afford childcare. There was no government help. The only benefit was child benefit. So what did we do? Well, we learned how to budget. Food was homemade. The children learnt the word no if they wanted anything, or you'll have to wait till birthday or Christmas. In the winter, we wore a vest and a thick jumper, as we only had heating in one room. There were no throwaway clothes. We didn't have takeaways. We didn't go out for meals. We couldn't afford it. And so to this day, we don't do takeaways. Perhaps the odd meal out as a treat. We don't have daily coffees in coffee shops. So let's teach the population how to cut back, how to budget, how to manage. As it says, Hillary, not up to the government to hand out money. It's up to the government to manage the gas and electricity authorities. So Hillary's point of view, that's the thing to do. Learn how to budget and get on with it. Here's a message in from Sue in Kirkmichael, who said, Andy, if the government started installing solar panels on some of the houses where vulnerable people live who are struggling with the energy price rises, surely it would benefit everybody in the long term. Less money paid out in the long term and less reliance on gas, says Sue in Kirkmichael. Doesn't seem to be much moving where that's concerned, the installation of solar panels, although we'll wait and see what happens in the future. Still got that note in about illegal parking in Paul Rose, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this. Over the last year, many residents in Paul Rose have contacted Douglas Borough Council, Douglas South MHKs, police and the DOI about parking issues in Paul Rose, because there are no residence permits. There are apparently vans parking illegally there as well, cars being left in Paul Rose by users who don't live in the area because there's no disc zone required. No allocated spaces. Many residents want to see residence parking spaces, but the DOI have said no. If you're involved in this, if you live around Paul Rose, and that's still the issue, we are trying to talk to many people as to what's going to happen, because it seems like that illegal parking situation in Paul Rose is only getting worse. Mark's on now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Andy. How you doing, fella?
Fine, thanks.
Good. I was the guy that phoned up yesterday about the traffic warden in Tesco's.
Oh, right.
Right. I think there seems to be a little bit of confusion on listening to a few of your texters. As regards traffic wardens and port authority police officers, etc., they can put tickets on vehicles parked anywhere in Douglas, except they cannot go into Shoresbrow and they cannot ticket any vehicles that are on council estates. That is primarily and solely down to the wardens who work for Douglas Corporation. So when you have people texting you saying that they've been in touch with the DOI about parking in Paul Rose, they're actually ringing the wrong people. They need to ring Douglas Council, because it's them who police and monitor illegal parking in council estates. It's got nothing to do with the DOI.
Okay.
And also, one other thing as well. The reason that I think people seem to have not got the right end of the stick about what I was phoning up for. I wasn't phoning up primarily to complain about traffic wardens. I was phoning up to say that what this guy was doing in Tesco's, he had no authority, because it's a private car park, and as such, nobody, even the police, don't have authority to go in there and book cars, because the car park is not owned by anybody in the public domain. The police can go in, by all means, and have a word, but as it's a private area, traffic wardens have got zero, and I mean zero, authority to do anything. But as to go in and tell a woman, your tax disc is due to run out at the end of the month, if you don't get it sorted, you could be prosecuted. I mean, what on earth does that tell people on the Isle of Man about who this private company registered in Ireland is up to?
I think you made that perfectly clear yesterday. I think what happened was we turned into a general moan about what's happening across the island, and also sometimes about, if you like, uneven application of the laws. Some people seem to get away with lousy parking, and some people seem to get jumped on straight away. So
exactly.
I think, you started something, put it that way, and I think everybody understood about the fact that the Tesco car park is private land.
What I was agreeing with is what you were saying before about it doesn't matter whether you're a traffic warden, whether you're a Douglas Corporation warden, or whether you work for a private company. You need to be the same across the board. If you're going to book somebody for badly parking, then book everybody for badly parking. Don't just do one person. If you're going to book somebody for being 5 minutes over their allotted time, book the lot. If you're going to book a van because it's too long, book the lot. At the moment, there's too many people with too much authority and too many books of tickets that it's not fair, and it doesn't seem to be, carte blanche across the system. So you're getting people phoning you up saying, I got a ticket, but somebody else didn't. And that's what I think the problem is. They need to all be educated in saying, this is the law, this is what you can book, get it booked. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. But don't just book one and then ignore the next.
And also, if we're talking about easy pinches, there's a lot of transgression when it comes to disabled parking spaces.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I've got a disabled badge because my wife, she's classed as disabled. And the number of times that we've been down to Regent Street or the promenade, and we've pulled up, and there's been... I'll give you a quick example, and this will be a quick one. I won't keep you much longer. I was up at ShopRite about 2 months ago, and there was a UK-registered car with a man and two kids, well, teenage kids in the back. And it was a big Range Rover, and he was parked in a disabled spot. So I pulled up alongside him, and I said to him as I was going past, I said, are you disabled? And he went, no. I said, why are you parked in a disabled spot? And he said, well, I've just stopped here to get the papers. I said, well, that's not the point. I said, the point is you shouldn't be in a disabled spot. And he gave me a massive big mouthful of abuse, and I said, oh, that's clever, in front of your kids. And he told me to go away in no uncertain terms. But you see, nothing can be done about it. They're there for 1 minute, gone the next.
Well, I mean, we seem to have cameras here, there and everywhere, and it's easily done by if you put a camera somewhere, and there are supposed to be big fines for parking unauthorised in a disabled space. Surely it would only take, you know, half a dozen or a dozen big fines for everybody to realise you shouldn't do it.
Have you, in all honesty, Andy, have you read of anybody in the Manx papers being prosecuted for parking on a disabled spot? I can't remember ever reading one.
No, never heard of it.
No. And one final thing before you go, are you also aware of there's a little trick people do at Nobles Hospital? They park their cars there when they come from Peel and what have you, and then pay 40p to come into Douglas on the bus.
I've heard about this. Now, apparently, I mean, I don't know whether this is a Manx myth, but apparently the hospital authorities have checked and it doesn't happen.
I can assure you it does, because I have to take my wife up to the hospital on regular occurrences, and if you get there at the right time in the morning, you will see that the bus that goes into town, I think it's a number 4 double-decker bus, there's about 40 people stood at that bus stop waiting for it. And you can't tell me that there's 40-odd people live so close to Nobles Hospital that they get the bus. They have parked, and they've figured it out, 40p, there and back, that is a cheap day's parking.
Okay, all right, thanks, Mark.
No problem, mate.
All right, good to talk to you. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just referenced yesterday regarding UK vehicles. Wouldn't a simple solution, and I've suggested it to the DOI, that if you're bringing a car in for a UK or a van or a truck, that you get a temporary tax disc, for 30 quid, and then you use that 30 quid when you get it retaxed to a Manx registration as a refund. Simple solution. But you've got a record then of the person who's here, who's sitting on a UK vehicle taxed that we don't know about whether or not. And there are lots of them going about. You see them all the time there, and I can't believe they're all visitors. They should be doing something like that. And the other thing is, if I could say to you, it's an offence at night in a home zone, which is a home zone out on a state or a 30-mile-an-hour zone, to park a commercial vehicle. And the legislation said it's got to be either 6 metres long or 2 metres high. It's a clear offence, and they can be done by the constabulary. And why aren't we doing that when there are loads of commercial vehicles on local authority estates, private estates, and clearly it's an offence under the traffic regulations?
And what were the dimensions again?
6 metres. It's got to be 6 metres long or 2 metres high. We changed it when I was in government there to 2 metres high, because people were getting away with it because it had to be one or the other. So it became 6 metres long or 2 metres high. And there are quite a substantial number of vehicles and government-owned vehicles who are actually breaking the law, leaving their vehicles overnight on the highway. Now, the question comes now, are the police going to have the gall to do the promenade? Because the promenade's at 20, remember?
Yeah.
As far as I know, it's 20. It's not very signed, but everybody tries to keep to 20 or 30 there. So at night time, it's an offence. And look at the vehicles there. Just look at them all over the place. And that includes English vehicles too. They're hopping over. There's no excuse. The law is the law, and the law of the land should be obeyed.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today.
Bye.
Cheers. Now, it's 12:30 on Manx Radio. Just a comment says, this is somebody who signs themselves as an ME sufferer. Just a comment about Grow Labs. The guys who were on yesterday, it was a fascinating interview. Seemed like nice gents, and they knew exactly about the field. They said the first independent company to be given the license, but a few licenses have been looked into, but they have to specialise. We talked to Alex Frey and Charlie Price, who are the people, two of the people behind Grow Lab Organics, the people who are the first licensee. And this correspondent said, did they know about another planning application submitted to create that campus-style facility on the top of Cool Road opposite B&Q? They're looking to invest £100 million, and the public consultancy went out in February and March, but we don't know if the Manx government has granted. I think it's Peel, isn't it, who are going for the licence. Now, Grow Labs spoke well about the groups of strains that can help with 23 medical conditions. It's fantastic. But not that long ago, during lockdown, the Manx courts were fining all cannabis users, growers or importers weekly for the drug, as well as the other terrible drugs out there. but cannabis can be used to help sufferers. It wasn't that long ago a gentleman called Man in Line to say he was using cannabis illegally and felt like he wanted to hand himself in because he was wanting to buy the products legally, but really he wanted to push legislation for medicinal cannabis. Since the reform in Germany, the government is looking to legalise adult use of cannabis in Germany. The Manx government is stalling this legislation, as this has been hanging in the department for years, but apparently they're too busy, so we're behind the times again, and the newly elected are trying to do something. Adult sufferers should be able to get hold of medicinal cannabis without going to court, but the government is trying to tax this, hence the gambling licence needed to get a production licence. I think it's going to take at least 5 years at this rate. Well, it may be 5 years before they start growing it, but Alex and Charlie did say that in the meantime, they do have a licence to import. 28 minutes before one, call, text, email or WhatsApp Man in Line on today.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
I always recommend Spectrum Windows to friends and family when they admire our home. Locally based Spectrum Windows install quality windows, doors and more right across the island with 10-year guarantees, superb workmanship and excellent service. I'm sending them round to see Duan as he's doing a new extension. I jokingly said I should be on commission, but there again, Spectrum's fantastic products sell themselves better than any salesman.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
To celebrate 40 years on the Isle of Man, Zurich will be performing 40 random acts of kindness in the community throughout the summer holidays. Keep an eye out for the Zurich team, who'll be delivering treats from flowers and coffee to donations and paid event entry throughout August. Zurich has also teamed up with Manx Radio for some of the Friday school holiday surprises. To find out where we'll be, follow Manx Radio on Facebook and stay tuned to the Nation Station. You can also keep up with all the acts by following Zurich Isle of Man on Facebook and Instagram. 40 acts of kindness from Zurich on the Isle of Man. Hashtag 40Gives40.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see this?
Mm-hmm. Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main Net Zero Progress website.
There's a French number plate outside Peel Police Station. It's been there since COVID started, so why don't they put a ticket on that? Or does it belong to the police? It's not Manx registered, says Texter 587. Is that true about that French registered vehicle? And Billy in Peel said, how about the parking controller who says if a car has a UK plate, he leaves it alone, but quite happy ticketing a Manx car on Central Promenade. Surely if you're ticketing Manx cars, you must ticket some of the UK plates, or can you still enforce the fine? Text, email or call if you've got anything parking related you'd like to mention. And by the way, Mark's, I've been racking my brains. I can't think ever, and I read the newspapers all the time, I can't remember anybody being nicked for parking in a disabled parking space without a badge. Can you remember anything? Alex said, surely it's about time the government cracked down on people leaving the Isle of Man, but using our health service. I bumped into a man recently who left the Isle of Man 3 years ago, but he came over to see his Manx dentist. I know of someone who works on the Isle of Man but lives in Wales, has lived in Wales for 10 years, yet he has all his medical needs seen to by our NHS, just has his appointments sent to his site's address. Surely this needs to stop. If people are no longer resident on the Isle of Man, surely they can't use our health service. Well, perhaps I can tell you a story myself. Several years ago, I was using a national health dentist on the Isle of Man, and somebody came in from some emergency work with a very healthy tan, and they lived most of the year in Spain, but said they came back to get their teeth seen to in the Isle of Man. Why? Because it cost a tenth of the price to come to the Isle of Man, and it was worth the airfare to come to the Isle of Man. It's anecdotal, it was years ago, but it did happen. And if that's still happening, surely that's a drain on the public purse, and surely it's worth looking into. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I was just asking Howard, and I say, well, he won't see anything today, but yesterday, as normal, I would look out to see where all the turbines are, but I noticed yesterday that there's a fairly large platform out there. Now, I don't know whether it's working on the turbines or not, but normally they have different ships out there for that. And I've looked on the vessel finder, and there are a lot of ships. But this one says a accommodation platform. And last night it was there, it was fully lit. Now, I've just suggested, or said to Howard, are they out there outside our 12-mile limit and looking for what we loosely term as the gas that we have in the Manx waters? Because you can drill down and then turn 90 degrees and go under. If they can drill under your house, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it if you're in the UK in any way. But is the same principle being applied, and they're exploring for gas in what would be the Manx waters? In other words, they're going to steal the glory and the monies that's likely to come or could possibly come to the Manx people.
And whereabouts was this again? Which direction were you looking?
Straight out to sea from Douglas, and it's out in amongst where the turbines are. It might be completely innocent. I don't know if you can put a guilty factor on that, but it could be that out there servicing the turbines, but it looks like it does say on Vessel Finder, accommodation platform. Now, what would an accommodation platform be put out there? So are they another company, BP and Shell have already had their fingers in the pie. Are they making inroads into what could be the 12-mile limit of the Isle of Man?
Can you imagine if that happened? I mean, if there is gas off Mackold, if the Kroger field has got gas in it, if somebody stuck a big drill underneath it and drilled and nicked it?
Yep. Well, the government that we have there, they'd be sitting looking out the window and saying, oh, what's that out there, Johnny? Maybe we should, or we send the bobbies out. They, you know, they're so slow to think about these things that they think everybody's honest, but big business, we all know, they are out to make money, and if there's money to be made, they're there in the ground. And these boys and the various other oil companies, shipping companies, gas companies, etc., because of the dire straits that the whole of Europe, etc., is in because of Russian gas, they're going to be looking everywhere for this now. They've even lifted the lid on fracking, with the caveat there if the people agree.
As it stands at the moment, Kroger won't be able to do the surveying of the seabed until next year, as it is, Howard.
Yeah, well, as I say, this might be completely innocent. And as I say, I walked back to the house last night and I could see this platform was completely lit up out there, out in the direction of the wind turbines out to sea. Now, all I ask is that an innocent work vessel, or has it got another activity?
Okay.
That's a question that needs to be asked, because they're shouting about how good the gas is going to be under the island, but they're still sitting there doing nothing about it and twiddling their thumbs.
All right, Howard, thanks for being with us.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye. Now, it's 19 minutes before one. I was delighted to hear, says Nicola, that traffic wardens or any other vehicle warden are checking tax on vehicles. Keep checking, as far as I'm concerned, says Nicola. Don't complain unless you're a non-payer. P.S. There were two large road sweepers on the prom at the weekend with a UK registration plate. So why are we paying possibly accommodation, food and travel for UK large road sweepers? Why don't we do it ourselves? A text in, it's a WhatsApp in from 882. Thank you, 882. What Howard was talking about is the MPI Adventurer, which is actually installing windmills. They're called wind turbines. The accommodation platform bit is just doing its what it is, but actually they're installing wind turbines. And Jill's on now. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Andy. My husband was a parking controller, and he always did his best. If he was moving somebody on, he didn't just slap a ticket on willy-nilly. They don't get points for it, so what's the point? But he always sort of tried to say to them, if you just go and told them sort of where the nearest parking, allowed parking was.
So,
and so he didn't get beaten up for it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Jill, so it's official because, again, there's a Manx myth, an urban myth, really, that parking controllers are on revenue generation and get bonuses for the more tickets they issue.
Well, they didn't when he was working. It was a few years ago, but no, they don't.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks, Jill.
Okay, thank you.
Good to talk to you. And Chris joins us now on Manx Radio. Hello, Chris.
How do you do? Just a comment about this parking keeper.
Yeah.
And the number of people who are not disabled parking on them. I have two hip replacements, but I can walk a certain distance. And I park, I've got a badge that I can park on disabled. And if anybody ever questioned me, I'd ask them if they'd like to have what I've had done. And have both hips replaced. Do you follow me?
I do. Whereabouts do you normally park, Chris?
Well, I park where I can, but if I've got if there's a disabled spot and I can't park anywhere else, that's where I will park because I'm entitled to. But if anybody saw me walking away from the car, walking pretty well, which I can do to a point, but only for short distances, I would really question what they were talking about, if you follow me.
Chris, what about people who don't have badges who park in disabled spaces?
Oh, they could get stuffed, pardon my expression, but they're the ones that we dislike, obviously. I've never done it in the past, but now I've had two hip replacements, I can park where I wish, if you follow me.
Okay,
but,
all right, we appreciate...
Anybody that is not disabled doing it, nail them.
Okay, thanks for calling today. Here's a message in that just says, look, you try and get a test for a UK car at the test centre. You'll be looking to October if you're lucky. So a lot of these UK plates are Manx people who've bought cars from across, from sourcing companies and what have you. So surely something needs to be done about it. The test centre needs a good shake-up. It's new and shiny, isn't it? The new test centre looks lovely, but you can't get a test for a UK car until about October. I feel very sorry for the students this year. They'll be at a huge disadvantage compared to the last 2 years. Those pupils were assessed and got good grades without even setting exams. The fact that the grades this year are lower because they're actually for proper exams and not teacher assessed, I think is unfair, says Liz. I agree with Hillary, says Paul. Learn how to cut down with meals, and once again, the big suppliers will see a downturn in sales. They'll start to drop their prices. I think there's profiteering going on. There are genuine price increases, but there is profiteering. Maybe we need to learn from previous generations. You don't have to have a takeaway every night. You don't have to go out for meals all the time. You don't have to buy £3 coffees all the time. And you don't have to have the heating on all the time. Marina and Andrea said, Hillary, yes, you're spot on. Learn to manage. Take responsibility. Get organised.
The Sainsbury's Taste the Difference range is all over ShopRite right now. It's like a big summer umbrella under which there's all the extra zest and flavour you're looking for. Fresh, chilled, deli, meaty, fishy, veggie, vegan. Perfect summer drinking too. Taste the Difference Champagne, Prosecco and Rosé. Exceptional beers. The only place to discover it is conveniently close to home. At your ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612-333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861-271.
People of the Isle of Man, are you thinking of buying or selling a home? Well, wait! You need to talk to the conveyancing team at LVW Law. LVW Law! They've over 20 years of experience and know what they're talking about. They're friendly and efficient. Do not buy or sell a property without calling LVW Law on 836757 for a no obligation quote. LVW Law.
Oh, I just hate being without you.
The Sunday Chill Out, Chris Pearson.
Summer 2022 chill, even when the weather doesn't want to join the party. The Sunday Chill Out brings the Ibiza beach vibes to you between 7 and 9 every Sunday evening. Get in touch by emailing chill@manxradio.com with your chilled out tune choice or a suggestion for our 8:30 Sunday Slammer.
Chris Pearson, The Sunday Chill Out.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
12 minutes before one. Thanks for joining in today. Oh, just a quick word. I want to give a big up to KPMG. Their promenade relay raised more than £11,600 this year. The money will be given to Project 21, which is a campaign set up by five Manx charities to raise funds for people with learning difficulties. 200 runners took part in the relay event, which returned after a two-year break due to COVID. So all the best, £11,600 to Project 21. All the best to you. And we were just talking about disabled parking spaces. This is slightly related. The Manx government wants businesses to help provide employment for people with long-term health conditions or disabilities who want to return to work. So if you have a long-term disability or a long-term health condition and you want to get back to work, then help is on the way. Employers are being asked to join what's something called the Manx Reskill Scheme, which is going to match businesses with an individual. Companies can then claim 100% of the salary cost for the first 6 months, with the reductions on a sliding scale thereafter. We'll keep an eye on that. It's an interesting initiative, the Manx Reskill Scheme. Employers get 100% of the salary back for 6 months and then reductions on a sliding scale for providing employment for people with long-term health conditions or disabilities who want to get back into the workplace. You can't be slightly legal or slightly illegal. Your tax desk is, if it's on the last day, it's still legal. It doesn't matter, says Des. A message is, this is from G, who said an examiner report in 2020 found that half the students hadn't repaid loans totaling £9 million. And apparently if they were living in the UK, they weren't being chased. Does that include any sort of family liability? We'll try and get to the bottom of what's happening with Manx students and how much they have to pay. The current nurse training provision has two on island pathways, general nursing and mental health. Learning disability nursing is an additional off-island year at the end of the degree. Only learning disability training for student nurses is a one-week placement, usually in year one of training, where they shadow in four separate areas over a five-day period. One residential, one respite, two-day services. Now, in the past, it was a six-week placement. They have 1 day training in learning disabilities from the only learning disability nurse on the Isle of Man. Now, with the Disability Discrimination Act in place, surely isn't this a disservice to a proportion of the population? nurses could be inadequately trained, perhaps unable to support that community. In the real world, young people go to university and have their eyes open to a host of new experiences. They go to London, they go to Manchester, they go to Birmingham. With ease of travel, unfortunately, many students simply aren't interested in returning to the Isle of Man. It's always been a fact of life. That's John. There's almost a three-month wait for testing vehicles at the test centres, says John in Douglas. That's why there may be a preponderance of UK plates on the Isle of Man. After the news, this is the news about Manx Care and that Information Commission fine. How many more apologies and insincere platitudes, that's Dick's words, do we have to hear from Manx Care? We need to put the Manx Care back in the DHSC, run by people who thought more of patients than how they look on YouTube. Even by letting a lot of directors and managers go earlier this year, nothing's changed at the top of Manx Care. Surely is it time for the government to admit the experiment to replace it and split it? Obviously, Manx Care and DHSC are now separate. Dick thinks this has failed, thinks it was much better run before by people who did care, not those at the top who don't care. Dick's words about Manx Care. It's a bit soon, isn't it? I mean, it was only a wee while ago we split Manx Care and DHSC. Says Kath, a former bishop was prosecuted a few years ago for parking in a disabled space. Is that true? His excuse was he was only nipping into a shop for a moment to get a paper, and he did get fined, says Kath. Alder Road and Laburnum Road have got cars parked on both sides. Only one vehicle can use the road, and with buses and the wagons up and down regularly, you have to stop. So there are problems on Alder Road and Laburnum Road. Yeah, you have no line of sight on the bend by Holly Grove. It's dangerous, says this correspondent. There are about 60 parking spaces at the back of these houses for them to use. Police say it's DOI who should be putting double yellow lines down both sides. The road is always busy, and James says it is dangerous. I have seen that French number plate outside Peel Police Station. It's been parked there for months. I saw it yesterday. Why is there a French number plated vehicle parked outside Peel Police Station? Lots of messages in now, and this one says, if an English registered car gets a ticket, they shouldn't be able to board the boat until it's paid. Surely in this day and age, the computer can tell us if it's owing before the car boards. Surely all you need to do is cross-reference ANPR at the, and also you'd have to put a payment machine, wouldn't you? You can only get on the boat if you pay your parking fine. What's this recent trend for federating primary schools? I hear two schools with head teachers are retiring are being federated, so there will be no head teacher at the school. Does anybody know about this and what's going on, says James? Well, we'll certainly look into this. And Howard's just raised a point I queried months ago about an adjacent UK zone nicking gas from our zone while the government are asleep. That would be irony of irony, wouldn't it? I'm sure this isn't allowed under international law or you can prevent it, but if somebody from across managed to stick a drill sideways into the gas and nick it under our noses. And thank you for this one. And it just says, the teachers who allegedly inflated grades during COVID to look good presumably will be under the spotlight now if exam-based grades have dropped. Thank you for raising that issue. And Jill says, Andy, this morning a car got booked in the 30-minute disabled space on Regent Street. They had no disabled sticker, no disc. The traffic warden told me it was a £120 fine. I went shopping, walked back, and the car was there over 30 minutes later. See, that's the point. You can only get nicked once. Some people will probably think that might be worth it. Of course, we had the story of Tommy yesterday who got nicked once happened to move the car a few yards down the road and got nicked again. There's a moral in there somewhere. Turn this upside down, says John. What about the drivers who do have a blue badge but won't park on a disabled spot and take an ordinary space? Is it right that if the disabled space is empty and stays empty but ordinary drivers can't park there? Lastly, many years ago, I got done for parking on a disabled space and got a £25 fine and 3 points. Quite right too, says John. Interesting point. After experience in life in the UK, why should students come back to the Isle of Man? Why would they want to? An island of retirees run by politicians removed from the public. Well, we'll find out more as we dissect the A-level situation tomorrow on Man in Line.
WINT.